You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, indeed. It is feeling good today, Slee. Fresh off of an Ask Slee, I am in a fantastic mood, and ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on our show today, Slee, appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And you know how much I like Ask Slee, right?
I think you think it's an okay set. You've made a case a couple different times that it should be canceled.
Do you know what I like a little bit better than Ask Slee?
When they keep coming in and you want to do it past the actual
exactly.
segment.
The bonus Ask Slee after 10 o'clock is the only thing I
this
like
This wasn't
better.
In my contract. This was not in my contract.
And I'm going to do one. It's from Eric Steven, and he writes, who wins in a fight? Trav's Wilford Brimley / Bob Kraft, Trav's mom-made messy pizza rolls, or Trav's amazingly and disturbingly accurate Buffalo Bill? # Ask Slee.
Buffalo Bill wins.
One. Of course.
Buffalo Bill wins. Yeah.
Buffalo Bill plays dirty. He's not following any of the
rules. When you bring
up,
I am going to tell you something. When you start doing the other voices, I like quickly try to change the subject. I'm like,
I've noticed.
Abort mission. Abort mission.
I've noticed. It's not going to stop me. But I have noticed.
I have a question.
For instance,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, what was your favorite scene in Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are Undead? Where Daniel LaRusso played Bobby Bianchi.
Mm. The first half hour was there was something about the first half hour that I
Character
thought, okay,
building.
This is going to take a little bit of time. But the second half hour, amazing. Amazing second half hour.
I think of all of the films, I think I enjoyed that. And if it wasn't that, it was The Ballad of Danko Jones. That was the one that really brought it home.
He's been in this many movies?
Well, some of them are TV shows. Some of them are shorts. Some of them are just
First of all,
videos.
Can I just say, in your resume, if you have Karate Kid and My Cousin Vinny,
and
I
the
don't
Outsiders.
Care.
Don't sleep on The Outsiders. The Outsiders was a huge deal when it came out.
Okay, so let's put all three of those movies in there.
Yeah.
You don't have to accomplish anything else.
No.
You're good.
He's an amazingly accomplished guy. I don't like to be sincere with that, but he is. He's been a working actor for 40 years. That's a pretty good run.
But this is the thing about Cobra Kai that I just find hilarious. There are certain scenes where I'm like, how was that? How did they say, yup, that's it. No, we don't have to do another take. No, that's good. That was perfect. And most of those include Daniel LaRusso.
Not most of them. All of them. Okay, let's be accurate. Accuracy is important here.
I want to read something off here because MT sent me a text. You know how you said the Suns in four guy?
Yeah.
So Michael Thompson sent me a text. So obviously he has not seen.
Yeah, he sent me the same thing. Go ahead.
Okay, so did the Suns in four guys start the fight? Okay, the answer is no.
Right.
He did not start the fight. So if you haven't seen it, he did not start the fight. But I think that's actually an interesting point.
It is.
There is a lot of, because he said, because if he did, are we rewarding violence at games? Okay, he did not start the fight. That's number one. But there is a lot of love going to a dude that, yes, was defending himself, but there is a lot of reward for what he did. There's kind of a fine line to walk there. I get what he's saying.
It does open up a potential can of worms where if some guy knocks around another guy, that hey, can I get tickets to the next? You don't want to start. Well,
I was
that.
Defending I myself. I was just
but
defending myself.
This guy really was like. Apparently, the story is that they were kind of chirping at each other, but it was more or less pretty harmless. And then the Nuggets guys took it to another level, and then this guy just kind
took a cheap shot.
Hey guys, I read yesterday that the two Nuggets dudes that were chirping at the Suns and Ford guy was they poured beer on him.
Yeah, they did. Well, no, the video shows them. He literally pours beer. And the guy, actually, the Suns fan, kind of laughed about it. I don't know if he said something like, that's what we're going to do or something along those lines. And he still didn't even throw a punch until the other guy put his beer in his pocket. And then this is the Denver guy and swung at him. And I don't know. It just takes me back to my college days at San Diego State.
Well, you're always out there looking
in a tank top.
in your tank, your tucked in tank top, you're all hopped up on twice cooked steak, and you're just going out there looking for
who trouble. Wants it. Who wants it?
Absolutely. All right. Is Luka at the top of the list, Slee? Is Luka the most powerful guy in sports? Because let's just look at the cold hard facts. We know that Luka is, if he's not the best player in the NBA, he's very close and he's closing in on the top spot fast.
Yeah.
And the story was after
I genuinely believe that's his spot. Like that he's going to be the best player in the NBA in the next. How long is it going to take for him to be the best player in the NBA?
Well, I'll answer that with another question. Mm-hmm. Who you want to argue that he's not already? You know what I mean? That you can make the argument that he is already, and you're not out of your mind. I don't think he is. I'd still take Durant. I'd still take LeBron. But he's really close.
We actually have to change the question for him because if I told you, hey, you get one player in the NBA right now, it's so beyond going to be Luka because of his age, right? That so we have to actually change the question, and we did this maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago. We have to change the question to say, hey, if you only get one player just next season, right? Like that's how we had to change the question because of how amazing Luka is at just age 22. But go back to the Mavericks and how he's pretty much changing the franchise in front of us.
Think about it. You know, Mark Cuban came out and made the joke. He said he's not going anywhere. You know, if the choice were between myself or my wife and Luka, I'd be in my lawyer's office working on divorce papers. It's obviously it's a joke, exaggerate, whatever. But the point was made because right after that report came out, Donnie Nelson Jr., bye. Rick Carlisle yesterday, bye. And Rick Carlisle saying it was my choice to leave. Okay, Rick Carlisle, if you put any list of guys that are the most respected coaches in the league, Rick Carlisle's on it.
Sure.
Right.
Only a few coaches that have won a championship and that are currently coaching.
Yep. And if you were gonna, I mean, did anybody think that the Mavericks didn't advance in that first round because Rick Carlisle did a bad job? I don't think so.
Did anybody think the Mavs were gonna take the Clippers to seven games with the lack of talent that they have and the amount of games that Porzingis kind of shells goes into a shell and is sitting 22 feet away from the basket? So it's not like you're gonna come out of this season saying, "Well, that's on Carlisle."
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So the thing that I think is interesting is Luka's already kind of flexing his muscle, even if it's not vocal, even if he's not coming out and saying it. Clearly, moves like that do not happen without the blessing of the best player on your team. Is he the most powerful guy in sports, in the NBA? And I'm not talking about political power. There are other guys. But I'm just talking about if somebody says jump, if Luka says jump, it seems like everybody in that Mavericks organization is jumping as high as they can,
which is the right decision, right? Like there's certain players. Okay, let's think about this, and this doesn't have to just be in the NBA. The most powerful athletes right now in the NBA, or I'm sorry, in sports, that if they say something, the franchise, the front office, and the owner are going to turn around and say, "Yeah, we got an issue, and we're going to cater to what this individual wants." Okay, Luka is obviously, that's an obvious one. We're seeing that unfold in front of us. Kevin Durant is one of those, correct?
Yeah.
I think he put Steve Nash in as the coach.
Yeah, I think a better way of thinking of it, Slee, or just a different way, maybe not better, but if Kevin Durant decided, you know what, Nash ain't working, Nash would be gone. I think that's what we're getting at, right?
Yes, I think, or anything. If KD said, guys, I don't think Kyrie is going to help us here, big picture. I think they would listen to Kyrie on whatever decision that Brooklyn wants to make moving forward. Okay. So that's another example of kind of the power. We don't have to have the conversation.
LeBron gets what he wants and will for a while. Very quick, I just want to do this. Michael's blowing up my phone right now. Funch, call Michael. He thinks that Slee and I are crazy about Luka. So call him and Taylor, tell him when he comes back in to call Michael, and we'll have the Luka conversation with him as well. The only other guy, Slee, that I think that you would literally move heaven and earth, because put it to you this way. Let's do the LeBron thing here. If LeBron woke up one morning and said, you know what? You got to get rid of the entire coaching staff. You got to get rid of Anthony Davis. You got to just change everything. They would at least pump the brakes and say, do we really want to do this? Do we really want to do this for a guy that's, you know, closing in on 40 years old? They would probably do it, but they'd at least have a conversation about it. With Luka, you just do it. Yeah, you want me to do it today? Cool, done. What else you want?
By the way, five years ago with LeBron, obviously, it's the same
thing. Different.
By the way, 3 years ago with LeBron, it might be the same exact thing, but a little hesitation because of his age. Yep.
Is there another person that you do this for? And you mentioned this morning when we were chatting. I think the only other person that would come in and say, I need you to change everything for me and I need you to do it right now is Patrick Mahomes. I think he might be the only guy. I don't know if there's another guy out there because put it to you this way. If Aaron Donald walked into Stan Kroenke's office or Les Snead's office, Kevin Demoff's office, whoever's ultimately going to make this decision, and said, you know what, Sean McVay is too offensive-oriented, we need a defensive-oriented coach, and I don't think he's the right guy, I'd like to see a change, I don't think they're going to do it. And that's Aaron Donald. He's the best defensive player in the league. I don't think he gets that done. I don't think many people do, and I think Luka's on the very, very short list.
Okay, I'll throw a couple other names out. This one is your favorite athlete who keeps coming up in the show for some reason. Cristiano Ronaldo, he do whatever he wants. If Cristiano Ronaldo said, hey, I want to change the English Premier League to a different name, they'll consider it, okay? They'll consider it. They'll sit down and have a consideration. By the way, this is also the guy that single-handedly dropped Coca's stock $4 billion by just removing it from the presser. The water stock is soaring through the roof. Okay. How about Tom Brady? Too late?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would listen, and we could have a conversation about why he wants to change it. But if Tom
he did it a year ago, he did it a year ago. They kind of accommodated whatever you need. We're going to make it happen, which was obviously whether they won a Super Bowl or not. It was the smart thing to do. They freaking won a Super Bowl.
He's almost 45 years old. I'm not changing my franchise. If I think I'm on the right track, and he thinks I'm not, I'm not changing everything for Tom Brady. I'm not.
But what I'm saying is a year ago they did, right? Like, didn't Tampa just say whatever the hell you want? And they did, and it paid off. And even if they didn't win a Super Bowl, it was still the right decision. Okay, here's another one. How about Ohtani?
No. I'm not doing anything for a baseball player. They've had Ohtani. Had Trout. They've had different managers, different coaches. I love Ohtani. I love Trout. But one guy ain't making a baseball team go. You've got to build a team.
Let me stop you here for a quick second.
Yes.
You have been trying to make the case about Ohtani that this guy's got to get into a bigger market. This guy's got to be somewhere else where there's more viewership, where we're watching him on a day-to-day basis, where he's playing in meaningful games, which, by the way, there's no difference between having that conversation. That's the same conversation we should be having about Mike Trout for the past 5 years, 7 years, 8 years, whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. But I say that because if tomorrow – Ohtani decides, you know what? I've been here in Anaheim for a couple years. Unless you do this, I'm going to go find a different place to play. You don't think the Angels are going to try and move heaven and earth to make it happen?
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We'll answer that on the other side because I think that's a great conversation and I think it's a bad idea. That's coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. All right, Slee, very quickly before we get to the Ohtani thing that you brought up a minute ago, I have another Ask Slee. Are you ready?
Sure.
Is Slee the guy that tries to take your phone when you show him a picture? If so, bad guy move. Hashtag Ask Slee.
Hey, let me see that. Let me see that real quick.
So if I said to you, hey, let me show you this picture, would you try to take the phone out of my hand?
No. No, I wouldn't.
See, here's the thing. You need to. Because I'm going blind. So I need, because most people, my kids are, hey, dad, hey, look at this. You see this Suns and Four guy? And they put the phone about 2 inches from my face. I can't see that. I need you to stand on the other side of the room and hold it over there so I can see it. So I'm okay with taking the phone out of somebody's hands. I think that's all right.
I might grab the phone, kind of, you know, go through some of the other photos, just kind of start scrolling around a little bit. That's fine, right? That's
fine. What's going on in their banking apps? Okay, so I want you to
got
just
a
set
bill
up
due in a week. Just a heads up, that car insurance is coming up.
I want you to set up your Ohtani question to me again because I have the answer. Hit me with it.
All right, so we're talking about the most powerful players in sports.
Yes.
And Luka is on a short list of players that an organization will just stop what they're doing, and if a player wants them to change something, they'll do it. We see that happen right now with Luka. By the way, we don't know the full story, but two major pieces just got shaken up with the Dallas Mavericks. So we went through Patrick Mahomes is one of those players. Mm-hmm. LeBron is one of those players. Okay, go down the list. I mentioned Ohtani, and I mentioned to you, Trav, that take the Angels for a second. Mm-hmm. The only reason why Angels are getting any pub right now, and it's kind of sad because, you know, they've had the best player in baseball for how long?
Almost
but they're
10
getting,
years.
They're getting so much pub because it's so unique what they have in Shohei Ohtani. And if Shohei Ohtani decided, you know what, guys, I've been here for a couple years, and we're not competing. I appreciate you guys letting me do both. I get to pitch. I get to hit as well. But I'm going to go to a franchise where I get more publicity, I get more love, and I got a legit chance of getting a World Series. Mm-hmm. Unless you make these changes. I think the Angels would make those changes. You seem to disagree.
I don't think they do, because here's the difference. I think you listen to them, and I think if you believe that saying no leaves you in a better place than saying yes, you say no. You know what I mean? Because the Doncic one, the Mahomes one, there is no scenario where you're in a better spot if they walk out the door. But if Ohtani comes to you and says, I need you to move these guys or I'm leaving, I'm saying, where are you going to go, buddy?
It's not, it's not even move the guys. It's manager, right? Like, you take the pieces that Luka just – take the pieces, the basketball operations, kind of the direction of the mm-hmm. franchise. It's mm-hmm. the manager or it's the head coach. I'm not saying he's going to go say, give me a new center fielder and I want a new third baseman. I want this guy specifically. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that integral pieces maybe behind the scenes – yeah, Ohtani is that big of a name that you're not sitting back and saying, well, you know what, Ohtani, you want to walk, go walk.
No, I don't think you're telling him to walk, but if what he's asking for you think is a bad idea, put it to you this way. If Mark Cuban, there's no scenario where Mark Cuban didn't think that Rick Carlisle not coaching this team was a bad idea, and he did it anyway, because mm-hmm. it's basketball. Because if I have the best player, I've got a really good chance of winning. Baseball's not like that. You answered your own question a little bit with Trout. They've had the best player in baseball for 10 years, and they haven't won. Mm-hmm. So with Eric Davis, who used to do the pregame show with us on the Rams, had a great line that they use in the NFL all the time, especially on bad teams. Hey, I've already been losing with you. I can try to win without you, right? And I think that's kind of what it's like with a Major League Baseball team. You would do everything you can to keep them, but there is a line. If he said, I need you to fire Joe Maddon, you'd say, okay, why exactly do you want to do this? Because we're not losing because the manager's blowing it. We're not losing it because of this. We don't have any pitchers. And if you want to, okay, then let's get new scouts. All right, who do you – you have the conversation, but it's not no matter what they say, you go do it. That's why I think that Doncic is in such an unbelievable position, why LeBron occupied that position for as long as he did. Look, Kawhi Leonard had that position. And he used it, and we'll see whether it works or not. When he came to the Clippers, he basically said, you need to go get Paul George as a part of this as well, and if it means you got to give away every draft pick you've ever had, go do it. They said, you got it, Kawhi, and they went and they did it. Doesn't come around very often because the exposure, the backside, it's real.
Yeah, listen, I know from a sports perspective, that's why I think – there's very few, if many, in football, because one player, when you're trying to fill in all these different roster spots, is going to have less impact than one player where there's only five on the court at the same time in the NBA. So I know that has a lot to do with it as well. So, look, let's just disagree on this one, and I think most people know that you're wrong. We'll just leave it at that.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time. It wouldn't be the first time, that's for sure. Speaking of Ohtani, we pitched again last night. He won another game. You're going to hear me go nuts if somebody wins the MVP that's not named Shohei Ohtani, if this continues to go the way that it is. Because basically at this point, what's today? June 18th. On June 18th, it's a two-horse race in the American League. It's Ohtani and it's Vlad Guerrero Jr., and they're both having monster years, right? You look at it that Guerrero is putting up unbelievable offensive numbers. Ohtani's are right there with him. They're almost interchangeable. They're both otherworldly. Ohtani has won three games on the mound. He started nine games on the mound. He has struck out 75 guys as
under
a
three ERA.
He's got an ERA of under three. I mean, when it gets to tied, both of their teams are not very good. They're about 500. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's not the differentiation. He pitches, Slee. He is one of the most dangerous offensive players in the league. Him and Vlad Guerrero are doing bananas things offensively. And then every fifth day he goes and pitches and strikes out eight guys. What are we talking about? I mean, how is it anybody but him?
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask you is there really an argument? Because everything that you just laid out, it really is truly amazing. I mean, you have people that are talking about Ohtani. The conversation we're having about him hasn't been done in how many years?
100.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's stop there.
Literally 100.
100 years. That's how unique it is what he's doing. And a lot of times, you know, I point to this most valuable player when people are like, you know, Westbrook should be in the conversation, or, you know, just using an NBA analogy. No, it should probably be the team, the player that is on a team that is winning. Well, if winning isn't the difference between Ohtani and Vlad, then I think the conversation has already been had. Now
we're done here.
We're not even halfway through the season, so let's see how things play out. Maybe things change, but at least to this point, I think you and I don't even have to make a case. How is it not Ohtani? If something changes down the road, something changes.
All right, so Michael Thompson, who you're talking about, we're talking about Suns and four guys. So Michael's listening, and he said that you're out of your mind, Slee, when it comes to Luka being the best player in the league right now, and he thinks that he wants to set you straight. What's going on, Michael? There's the music. Michael.
Be crazy because, hey.
Michael, how are you doing?
Frustrated listening to you two clowns.
What did Slee get wrong?
Yeah, talk to me, Michael. Help me out here.
Both of you throwing a question out there, is Luka the best player in the league? Do you guys forget that this is not football you're talking about, where the game is only played on one side of the ball? Don't you have to play basketball on both sides of the court?
Usually.
Michael, I got a question for you. Was Magic Johnson the best defender in the NBA when he got into the league? And was Magic Johnson still able to completely impact a game and control a game, even though he wasn't the best defensive player in the NBA?
Well, I got to be careful because I am in Los Angeles and I don't want to get exiled to the Bahamas. But Magic was the best leader in the game, but he was never the best player. The best player in the game, fellas, whether it's Magic's era or before Magic's era and today's era, the best player in the game affects the game on both ends of the floor. Mm-hmm. And that is still Kawhi Leonard or Kevin Durant when he's healthy, or even LeBron James in certain spots. Luka on defense is non-existent, and you win championships by playing defense. I know you got to score, but the Warriors won their championships because they could lock people down. The Lakers and Showtime played great team defense or had great defensive players. That's how you win championships. And if your player can't guard anyone, you cannot be considered the best player in the game.
Okay,
so
Michael.
One more quick question.
Between, if you had a chance, you're starting your franchise tomorrow, do you want Kawhi Leonard or do you want Luka?
I'll take Luka because of his age. He's only 22, and he's a box office attraction. He is a good leader. He hasn't done anything in the playoffs yet, even though he's put up numbers. He hasn't taken his team anywhere. Maybe not his fault, because other guys don't step up as consistently as they should, but he definitely is a lot younger, so you go with him. I love Kawhi. Kawhi's a better player than him. If Kawhi was 22, I would take Kawhi over him any day.
It just seems that the way that it's played right now, too, though, Michael, when you look at the way that it's totally spread out and totally open, it's all about shooting, it's all about movement and all those things. Can he not still be that guy? If he just becomes an average defender, does he not go right back to the top?
No, he can't be an average defender and be the best player in the game. The best player in the game has to be able to play. That's why Michael Jordan is so great, and Kobe. They can lock you up, and they can get 50. And unless you can do that, I can't consider you the best player in the game. And as far as other guys who have the power that Luka has, and you're right, Luka is all powerful right now because he has to sign that 5-year extension to save Dallas's franchise. And other guys in that situation right now who have all that kind of power that can control a team and say, this is what I want, and you better give in to my demands, are Zion Williamson in New Orleans, Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, Fernando Tatis in San Diego, Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, and probably Josh Allen in Buffalo. You have to do what those guys want because they are your face of your franchise, and they're all in their early 20s.
Yeah, I don't know about that list, Michael. I don't know, man.
They're, I kind of like that list. That's a good list.
Who would you take off that list, Travis?
Almost all of them. Almost all of them. I mean, Joe Burrow has played three NFL games. I have no idea if that guy's a good player or not. No idea.
On. You saw him play at LSU. You don't think he could play? What is wrong with you?
Michael, he had an unbelievable season at LSU, surrounded by players that were light years better than everyone else they were playing against. I'm not saying that he can't. I'm saying I don't know. And I am not doing whatever a guy says after playing two NFL games. Not a chance.
Tatis can do whatever he wants. You're right about that, Michael. Tatis can do whatever he wants at San Diego. They haven't had a player like that.
I don't think a baseball player can be on the list. One guy, look, Mike Trout has been the best player in baseball for 10 years, and there hasn't been a close second, and the Angels don't win.
I'm telling you, Tatis can do whatever he wants in San Diego.
You know what's different between Tatis and Trout, even though we all know how great Trout is? Tatis' personality. I mean, that guy makes you want to go watch him play.
No. Don't get me wrong. I am in the bag for Tatis. I love the guy. But I'm not even saying that the Padres wouldn't do it. I'm saying that they shouldn't do it. If he came in with some wild, crazy ideas and said, do it or I'm gone, I'm not doing it.
They just gave him $300 million.
That's different. That's different. That's, you're paying him to be the great player that he is, to be the box office attraction that you mentioned. That's what they're paying him for. That's fine. I would pay him too.
You don't think Lamar Jackson could make demands in Baltimore, a dynamic a player as he is, if he wanted to?
No. Lamar Jackson has been very average in the playoffs. He's a good player, but I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it for Mahomes, and that's it in the NFL. That's it.
Wow. Man, you wouldn't survive very long in Baltimore if you didn't want to appease.
Well, that's
Lamar
probably
Jackson.
True.
I'll tell you one thing, Trav.
Zion Williamson, you see, they just got rid of Stan Van Gundy because he and Zion clicks out. Is that a lot of power?
Zion has juice. I may leave Zion on. You may have convinced me of that. Zion may have. I put it to you this way, though. Here's another way of looking at Zion. I get it. He's box office. I get it. He's physically different than other guys. He's a great player. I wouldn't mind seeing them win a little bit before I decide I'm going to blow this whole thing up. I mean, is that asking too much?
Give them time. Did the Warriors win immediately when Steph and Clay got there? No, it took them a couple of years before they got to where they are. Jeez, Travis, have a little patience.
No, Michael, hold on. I want to answer that. Because when Steph and Clay first got to the Warriors, they weren't losing more than they won. They might not be winning the NBA championship right away, but it was a clear path where they were getting better. That hasn't happened yet here.
You know, New Orleans is getting better. They just had the wrong coach. You could see the talent there. And when Clay and Steph were there, Clay's rookie, they were a horrible team. Then they started making progress the second year. I bet you next year, with whoever the new coach for the Pelicans is going to be, you'll see this team make a drastic improvement because they'll have a young coach who can connect with these young guys.
One more
Michael,
quick one, Michael.
I got one. I got one for Michael.
Yeah,
it might be the same
LeBron
question.
On the list? Is LeBron on the list?
Ooh, you guys made a great point. He has a lot of power, a lot of say-so. But at 36, 37 years of age, I mean, unless you say, okay, it's worth making two more years at a championship run, let's do what he says. If we're talking about a 26 or a 30-year-old LeBron, of course he'd
different.
Be on top of the list. But at 36, 37, I don't know, does he still carry the same type of power knowing that his career is winding down? Hey, maybe he does one more year, two more years. Maybe he does.
All right, Michael, my final one for you. So I said earlier that this is Paul George's moment. I really, really believe that. I really believe tonight is Paul George's moment. Kawhi Leonard's not going to be there. The Jazz are hobbled as well. Clippers have never been to the Western Conference Finals. Do you agree that it's his moment, and do you think the Clippers come through tonight and they get to the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, it's definitely his moment. He's really stepped up the last few games. He's shown that playoff he is a thing. And, yeah, he has to close them out tonight. And then, of course, even if they lose to Phoenix in the West Finals, as long as he puts up 30-something points a game, then you cannot blame him. If he puts up these kind of stats that he's doing now, you can't say it's his fault. It's just that the other teams, other guys didn't step up. But, yeah, so far he is living up to that playoff P moniker for sure.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks for checking in. Love it.
I miss Michael yelling at me. He spent a lot of time yelling at you there, Trav.
I've had Michael yell at me for a few seasons. It's not the first time that Michael and I have argued about things.
My favorite thing here before we go to break, and I know we're way over the clock here. My favorite is when he'd yell at me and like overreact over something that was so small. I'm like, Michael, what just happened here? It's fine. I just said that KCP should have a good game. That's all I said.
Well, you should, as long as you don't tell him that the Beverly Hillbillies wasn't funny, we're going to be fine. That's what really gets him worked up, is old 60s sitcoms. That's the sweet spot for Michael Thompson. Who else should be on that list? 877-710-ESPN. Who do you do anything to your franchise because your star player says so? Who have we forgotten? 877-710-ESPN. It's Travis and Slee, 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
I met this, I got a chance to meet this band in 88.
Good guys?
No, a-holes, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, most great artists are, right? It's temperamental. Their genius
the
is rarely understood in their time. It just
freaking ego.
All right, I got one for you, Slee. Our guy Hector in San Diego, who's a regular of ours, said that he had one of those days yesterday. He apparently went to the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, very jealous. And then after he was done watching the golf at one of the more beautiful places you're ever going to see, he jumped down to Petco and watched the Padres and the Reds play a game last night, and he got to see a walk-off. That's a pretty darn good day, right?
By the way, I say this real quick. Watching the Angels yesterday – and finally Ohtani gets to pitch in front of how many fans at 50,000, whatever they had, right? It freaking feels really good to see some of these highlights, and it feels good to just kind of see the energy at these stadiums again, especially baseball. Like, God bless baseball, but you're not having any fans there. I mean, I know it changes everything for all these sports, but it's pretty damn cool to see. We were talking about it a couple days ago. Mookie Betts hits that home run. It's the first time he gets to play in front of a sold-out Dodger Stadium. Damn, it feels good to get that again.
Yeah, it's night and day. It is absolutely night and day. So steal a page out of Hector's book, Slee. If you could go anywhere and do anything, with sports, really, but it has to be real. It has to be like a setup like we saw yesterday, right? Where you have the U.S. Open in your backyard, you got your major league team in town, so you can't say I want to go to the Super Bowl and the Masters on the same day. It doesn't work.
Say whatever
like that.
I want.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want, but that actually is not doable. What is the day with Slee? What are you doing?
Okay, so we're gonna keep this in L.A., right? Perfect sports day. So by the way, we'll throw this out there. What is your perfect sports day? You could draw up any sports day, like what it would look like. You could do that. Hit us on Twitter at Travis Rogers, at Alan Sliwa. Okay, this is what I'm doing, Trav. And we obviously chatted a little bit about this before, so I had a little bit of a game plan here. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a Saturday.
Okay.
Okay. Early morning, I'm getting out to the Rose Bowl.
Nice.
USC, UCLA, noon kickoff.
Okay, be 12:30, but go ahead.
No, we're doing noon.
You don't get to set the schedule.
This is my day, okay? If we could do it at 11, we'll do it at 11. Getting out to the Rose Bowl, nothing beats Pasadena. Go do the great tailgating. And that's the one thing about the Rose Bowl, too. It's perfectly set up for that, right?
Perfect.
Get a nice tailgate going. I'm going to stay for about a half of football.
Okay.
If the game is close, I might stay through three quarters. But then I got to get out of there. Because then I got to drive down the 110, and I got to head over to Dodger Stadium.
Nice.
Dodgers-Padres, a good little matchup that those two teams have had.
Nice.
This is going to be the first time you've ever heard of this. First pitch, 2:30. Don't laugh. Don't laugh. There were some things going on with the schedule, and they had to push it to 2:30. And I'm not showing up till the fifth inning.
Okay.
Coming in the fifth inning, get to sit back, watch about four good innings of baseball, and then I'm leaving straight for there, going out to Staples Center because the Lakers and Clippers have a nightcap game, 7:30. It's up to you. I'm watching all three of those games in the same day.
I'm trying to think. Well, first, see, that's just a
fantasy. Good day.
It's a great day, but it's a day that will never exist. Those three things would never happen on the same day. For instance,
they would happen. That would definitely happen on the same day.
No, SC and UCLA, no, they always play at the end of the season. The NBA is playing, but baseball is long gone by the time that we get to that part of the football schedule. So you haven't given this nearly enough
thought. Trav, you're an a-hole, bro.
It'd be like UCLA versus Utah or something.
Slee, it's not the first time I've heard that, especially recently.
By the way, the way Fudge has just said it, the way I had planned it, it would be Utah, okay? But UCLA versus Utah, both teams are three games below 500.
Yeah, yeah. Or UCLA versus Brigham Young or something.
I had this day. This is a real day that I had a long time ago. UCLA and Miami had a 12:30 kickoff at the Rose Bowl. Did half of that game. Did exactly what you just said. Went to Dodger Stadium. I don't remember who the Dodgers played, but watched the Dodgers play the entire – watched it till the end because they had a 1 o'clock start, right? So yeah, I caught the second half of the Dodger game. And then that night, USC played Florida State at football at the Coliseum.
That's pretty special.
It was unbelievable. That's pretty awesome. It was so cool. And it was one of those things, just a random occurrence of events. But here's what you could do. You could do a Dodger-Padre game. Mm-hmm. And an NBA Finals game in the same day. That could happen. Those are taking place at the same time. And here, let me throw this one in there. You could also have the U.S. Open at the L.A. Country Club, which is coming to L.A. Country Club in a couple of years. You could see U.S. Open golf, Major League Baseball, and an NBA Finals game on the same day. And it's not that big of a stretch.
Can I read off
your tickets now?
Can I read off a quick text here?
Hit me.
Bergman just hit me with a text. Best tailgating at the Rose Bowl, hashtag one text a day. I think he took it personal that I said he hadn't texted me since May.
I don't even think Greg has my phone number. I don't think he's ever texted me.
I should text him back. Who's this? Got a new phone recently. That's not how they do it.
Who phone? New phone, who dis? Let's try a quick one here. Let's go to San Jacinto and Jordan. Jordan, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, guys. So talking about our perfect sports weekends, typically they have a big Canelo fight in September in Las Vegas sometimes in Texas. But for sake of the scenario here, we'll go to Las Vegas, and then you wake up the next morning and take in the Las Vegas Raiders NFL Sunday game. That'd be my perfect sports weekend, guys.
It's not bad.
You guys have a good weekend yourselves.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks.
That's not bad.
And here's just a PSA,
he cheated,
right?
Because he said a weekend, and we said a day.
Maybe 24 hours. You could stretch, fights late at night, pick up the Sunday game, then early the next day.
By the way, that's solid. If you do that in Vegas, you got a Canelo fight on a Saturday night in Vegas, woke up in the morning and went to check out a Raiders game at their new stadium, that's pretty damn good.
Not a bad way to go. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And speaking of, one of the most dominant performances in sports history took place on this day 21 years ago. We'll tell you what it is next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I appreciate you guys tuning in. Travis and Sue. By the way, ESPN app or on iTunes. If you miss any part of the show, you could catch the full 2 hours on ESPN app or on iTunes. So just search Travis and Sliwa. Funches, I'm going to roll with you on this one for a quick second here. All right? So 21 years ago today, you heard Travis making a quick mention of it. June 18th. 2000, Tiger Woods won the U.S. Open by 15 strokes. It's the largest margin of defeat for any pro golfer ever. Trav, first of all, it's crazy. I know we do this a lot. We look back, and yesterday wasn't O.J. Was yesterday the O.J.?
O.J. Chase, yeah.
Okay, O.J. Chase, and we've been doing this 11 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever case. So that was 21 years ago, so that in itself is just crazy that it was 21 years ago. But how about there's certain sports, right, where if somebody's getting blown out or it's not even close, you kind of turn the channel. I don't care anymore. This thing's over. This team's up 20. This team's up 30. Or in golf, if it's not a, if somebody has, going into the final day is up 6-7 strokes. Like, all right, this thing's over.
Right.
Tiger Woods was one of those where you're like, you almost, Tiger, give us more.
Yeah.
You're up well, 8, go up Tiger, by 10.
Tiger was so crazy because Tiger could have a 10-shot lead, like you said, and you wanted to see if he could get to 20. You wanted to see how far out in front he could get. It wasn't a matter of if he was going to win. It was by how much, and it was just as exciting as whether or not he would win, right? Like the excitement we saw a few years ago when Tiger won the Masters in 2019. It was incredible because of the comeback story, and we really didn't know if he was going to win until very close to the end of the event. That was remarkable, one of the great Tiger Woods achievements. But watching him just kick everyone's butt was a totally different thing. And to your point, Slee, there's only a handful of guys that are like that. And one of the other ones that I can remember in my lifetime was when the 49ers were with Jerry Rice and Joe Montana and that whole crew of guys, and they were just smoking everybody. Mm-hmm. When they would go with the Broncos in that Super Bowl, I think the final score is 55-10. And you're thinking, I don't care that this game's over. I want to see if they can get to 70 points. I want to see what they can do. That level of dominance is almost boring most of the time, but not with those guys.
So I'll say this. There were times, Laker days, right, when Shaq and Kobe were just starting to dominate. Right, they went a few years without winning championships. Phil comes, yes, in 2000 it took that Game 7 against the Portland Trail Blazers, but once they got past that, Indiana they beat 6. Remember that next playoff run? Was that playoff run they went? Funch, was in that playoff run they went 15-1?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
The only game they lost was against Philly.
Philly, and, yeah, Game 1.
Okay, maybe because we're Laker fans, that's a different type of enjoyment. But how about when Jordan used to just dominate? I have no affiliation with the Bulls. I have no affiliation with Jordan. But right. He was so great that you're almost watching these games like, Jordan, take them down. You're going up against the Knicks. Make them look stupid in the process. Kobe would do this too. There's certain players, certain athletes that it wasn't about, oh, I want a close game. It's like not only take them out, make them look stupid in the process.
Yeah. I think I know what it is. We see unbelievable athletic performances daily, right? If you're a sports fan and you flip on a random baseball, the Angels and Tigers last night, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not, nobody's in first place. It's not for the World Series, but you're still going to see some really cool stuff. We get a little immune to just how good these guys are, but when you get a guy that even by pro standards is so much better than the other guys, you can't stop watching it. You can't stop watching Michael or Kobe do what they do. When Kobe was going for his 81-point game, or when Kobe was doing his 60-point game in his last game, it wasn't about the game. It was about the dude, the guy. How much better is he than everyone else out there? It doesn't come along very often, and it's not just a beatdown. It's a beatdown on the biggest stage, like Tiger Woods, the U.S. Open. That's supposed to be a shot or two difference. He won by 15. That's
unbelievable.
Stupid.
Unbelievable.
It's 15 shots in golf. I'm trying to think of an equivalent. That's like winning a basketball game by 50 points. Mm-hmm. It's like winning an NFL football game.
But it's not even winning by 50. It's the competition you're facing. You're in the NBA finals, right? So it's supposed to be the two best teams.
That's it.
And you're winning by 50.
Yeah. Yeah. And
by the way, Funches had one too. Funches, who was your dominating when you were growing up that you loved watching?
Oh, the Team USA basketball, man.
Yeah.
Love to see him beat down Angola and Germany and all those teams.
Can I say something real quick?
Sure.
Angola had a good team. There were a couple guys. They're small forward. Been watching that guy since 89.
Was that the guy that Barkley elbowed in the chest?
That's right, the same guy.
Here's why that one doesn't work for me, Funch. Because the competition on the other side was a joke.
Yeah, it was.
Right? But Tiger Woods didn't beat a high school golf team by 15 shots. Kobe Bryant didn't score 81 points against a JV basketball team. He did it against NBA players. Tiger Woods did it against Phil Mickelson, Ernie Els, the other best players in the world. Hmm. The guys that the Dream Team was playing, they were – they're not NBA guys. I mean, that's the best way to say it. There may have been a smattering of NBA talent throughout the rest of the tournament. There are guys like Tony Kukoc was an NBA player, but that team wasn't an NBA team. That's the thing to me that just kind of puts that one in a different category. It's fun, but it's not holy smoke, what am I looking at?
Funches, is it just me or does Trav kind of rain on your parade or my parade?
Every time, times, man. Right? Like, yeah.
Not every time.
This is the right answer, guys.
No,
this
he's
is
strategic. Right he's strategic with it. There's times where he kind of boosts up our confidence, and other times he just takes the pillar out right under us.
So when you guys would take a math test and you would have, you know, 5 + 5 and you wrote down 11, did you want the teacher to tell you it was right?
Yep, that's the perfect example, Trav. That's a perfect example. That's just, the right example.
Look, tough love. I only give you a hard time because I care about you guys. I want you to be informed. I want you to be educated. I want you to be on the right side of history. I'm here
it
because
hurts
I care.
Me as much as it hurts you.
Why are you – this is one of my favorites. Why are you making me do this to you? That's always a fun one. All right, but coming up, the dump is next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. All right, so let's start with this one, Slee. This is one of my favorite sports conspiracies of all time. It was on this day way back in 1985, Patrick Ewing drafted number one by the New York Knicks, and the frozen envelope theory. Are you familiar with this one?
Yeah, but explain it to listeners who don't know.
So there's this theory that because Patrick Ewing was coming out of the draft that year, that everybody knew he was going to be a transcendent player in the NBA. And the Knicks had been dog water for so long that they wanted to make sure that they got the best player in the draft. That they remember when they used to do it, they would put all the envelopes in that big tumbler and spin it around, right?
Yeah.
And then David Stern would reach in and pull out the envelope. The theory was that they had frozen the Patrick Ewing Knicks envelope so he knew which one to reach in because he could tell by temperature and pull it out. And, oh, what do you know? The Knicks get Patrick Ewing. That is the most low-tech and awesome way to start a conspiracy that I've ever heard of.
Trav, the envelope is just wet. Like, it's melted.
Sorry.
He's trying to undo the envelope. It's just coming out. He's like, oh, this is just random here. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy. I do feel like the NBA draft, it is kind of funny. Like every NBA draft, every time Lakers were picking,
right?
Those 3 years they took number two. Uh-huh. Every conspiracy. Watch. This is, Ben Simmons is going to go to the Lakers. Oh, just watch. Carl Anthony Towns is going to have it. And none of them worked out that way. But those are always fun to be a part of.
Okay. So you kind of touched on it a little bit. Are generally speaking, and we don't have to get into any of them. But generally speaking, you don't buy sports conspiracies, that the league sets things in motion. You don't buy that.
I don't. I don't. Maybe I have a little hesitation. Like, I can see that, you know, at the end of the day, what is the league? It's a business. Mm-hmm. So we can sit here and talk about how passionate we are about our team, and I'll do anything for this. It's a business. These guys are multi-billionaires. Michael used to do something in the pregame show where he'd say, all right, Lakers are playing the Phoenix Suns. What did this owner buy the franchise for? And it was like, okay, $83 million. What is it worth today? 2.1.
Right.
It's a freaking business. So
yeah.
I'm not as big into conspiracy theories, but at the end of the day, I think it's good to keep in mind that if it doesn't make dollars, then it doesn't make sense.
There's also one other point that, because I'm not a conspiracy theorist either. I don't buy these things almost across the board. You want to go to jail, Slee, if you're a billionaire? You want to go to jail if you're a millionaire? I don't. And I know that happens occasionally, but I don't know if I'm going to jail to make sure that Patrick Ewing goes to the Knicks. That just doesn't sound super fun to me. And if you are a part of a fraud or a conspiracy like that, that's what happens. I don't think that.
Probably not a good investment.
What year is it, real quick? It is 2021, right?
Yes.
So why was Kemba Walker traded for Al Horford today? What's going on?
Well, Horford has such a good mid-range game. And
that's what the league's all about.
I really, really think that he's going to excel over the next 10 years. I don't know what happened. That was more of a salary dump. It was the Boston Celtics. By the way, this is the first move Brad Stevens makes now in the front office. Danny Ainge isn't there. Kind of a weird rotation of players that have come to Boston and left. And I'm talking about Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, Gordon Hayward. There's been a few players that they have signed or have come or have traded for, and then they're gone. Or in this sense, they're traded out of Boston. I don't understand the move, but I think they saved $70+ million or something like that off the books.
Yeah, just a weird deal. Al Horford took me way, way back. Here's another one. Logan Paul, or is it Paul Logan? I have trouble keeping that one
straight.
One
of those guys.
Yeah, one or the other thinks that he could beat Mike Tyson. And, look, I understand that this is part of the game, that you say something and that people react to it, and maybe they get some buzz, and maybe you get some pay-per-view buys. But Mike Tyson turns 55 in 2 weeks. What are we doing here?
Let me tell you something. I have gone out of my way to talk about how, no, I'm not freaking paying for Mayweather versus Paul Logan, right? Some people want to call him Logan Paul. We go with Paul Logan. We talked about we're not going to pay for it, and other people have paid for it, and they thought it was interesting and entertaining, and, you know, you can make a storyline out of it, and it is just pure entertainment. If Logan Paul and Mike Tyson, if that actually happened, Trav, I'm paying for it. You're coming over with Funches. Taylor, you're coming over too. I'll cover all the costs, not like
Why does that one interest you where the other ones don't?
Dude's going to get knocked out.
He's 55, Slee.
Logan Paul would get knocked the F out. He would. Mayweather was 44, okay? And weighs 100, what was the 35-pound difference?
No, I understand.
Mike Tyson would send this dude to the ground. I'm ordering pizza for us. I know, I'm planning the whole day. If we get a date set up.
Can we get the Sliwa meal?
I'll bring my own food, thanks. But I appreciate the effort, but I'll bring my own stuff.
I'll make eggs. Turkey bread sandwich.
On the ends of bread.
We're going big.
Here's why. I if you could tell me that Mike Tyson was going to try to fight this guy, yeah, I'm in. But you said it yourself. The Mayweather fight was so silly. Mayweather could have dropped that guy in 30 seconds if he wanted to. I know he's given away a ton of weight.
I think Mike would walk into this like, I'm going to drop this dude.
Floyd Mayweather's a professional fighter. If he wanted to drop a YouTuber, he could do it in his sleep. I don't care if he was 50 pounds lighter.
But he didn't for a reason. He didn't
because that's the agreement going into that. Logan Paul is not a maniac. He's a businessman, right? He's not going to go in there and get killed for no reason or money. You know what I mean? He's going to go in there with the understanding, look, I'll fight. You can hit me, but you can't kill me, because Mike Tyson would kill him. They're not going to fight. That's the problem with these things.
I can help
events.
Get this fight going. I'm all in on this fight. I'm all in.
Today is National Go Fishing Day. Are you an angler, Slee? Do you like to cast a line into the water now and again?
I do fly fishing in Oregon every twice a month. No, I can't fish if my life depended on it.
So fishing is one of these things. Mm-hmm. I really want to like it because everybody that likes it loves it, and it looks super peaceful.
It's legit. Fun. Like, people really go out.
Absolutely.
I think it's actually a really cool – I just don't know anything about it.
I've tried a bunch of times, and guys
– Doesn't do it for you?
Part of it is I never catch anything. Maybe if I caught some fish, it would be a little more fun, but – it's a long day, man. All right, Slee, enjoy your weekend.
Yes, sir.
Enjoy your Big Bear. Give them one more time on where they can find the podcast.
All right, ESPN app or on iTunes or anywhere you get your podcast. Travis and Slee, just search Travis and Slee. You'll get all our shows. Subscribe to the channel. And, of course, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m.
We'll see you here 8:55 on Monday morning. Enjoy your Father's Day out there, dads. Do whatever it is that you like to do and do it at your best. Looking forward to Father's Day on Sunday. We will see you 8:55 on Monday morning.